Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
You know, today I'm going to be talking to you about something that is, I believe, one of the most important characteristics we're going to have to develop for the days that lay ahead of us, and that's being led by the Spirit. I want to tell you something. The way the world is going, with what's happening in the world right now, what's coming on the world pretty soon, the honest truth is people who are not led by the Spirit are going to be confused. They're going to make destructive choices. They're going to make the choices that will cause them to end up in bondage, even when they have good intentions. Listen, the Spirit of God is in you to lead you in to absolute victory, to lead you into all of the promises of God, to protect you from the harm that the world wants to bring upon you. And I want to help you take another step toward being able to open your heart and hear and follow the Holy Spirit as He leads you. Listen, this entire broadcast, all four of these programs, can be viewed anytime you want for free on impactministries.com. I hope you'll go. I hope you'll keep listening because this is really important for your life. My book, The Gospel of Peace, has been translated into dozens of languages and read by millions of people around the world. If you're interested in getting this to send to somebody else in the world, go to our website, check it out, find a language, and send it to them. You know, when you start talking about being led by the Spirit, it's really easy for your mind to go to some really flaky, crazy places because, you know, if you're like me, when I first got born again and first time I ever went to any what they called Spirit-filled churches, man, I'll tell you what, it was like a bunch of nut jobs in there. I was thinking somebody needed to lock these folks up and put them in some special chains or something. You know, and it was good people that really meant well, but being led by the Spirit or flowing in the Holy Spirit was just almost something nonsensical that only happened in church. It wasn't something they could take out in a daily life and really change how they live and change how they influence the world around them. Well, I want you to know that being led by the Spirit is something that God wants every believer to participate in. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that if you're not allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit, the real truth is everything in your life is hit or miss, and it's going to be more miss than it is hit. You know, the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament is a type for how we can function as believers. That which was on the outside is now on the inside. That which God did externally, He now does internally through the heart. But Paul says everything that happened with the children of Israel happened as examples for us. And I'll tell you what, we can't throw away those examples because if we do, we'll start coming up with flaky, goofy theology and goofy ideas about God and goofy ideas about theology, and man, we'll mess ourselves up. Children of Israel, remember, after they left Egypt, you know, the blood of the Lamb, it's all started in trusting in the blood. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation that when tribulation comes, you know, that there's three ways you're going to go through tribulation. You're going to die for your faith. And I'm talking about those who continue to walk with God. They're either going to die for their faith, or they're going to endure, which basically means they're going to survive, or they're going to overcome. And an overcomer is somebody who really wins in the face of the opposition, actually overcomes what's happening. And I got news for you. The only way we're going to overcome is if we're led by the Spirit of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, when the children of Israel came out, they trusted in the blood. So it tells you in the book of Revelation that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives to the death. So just like the children of Israel, this all starts with, what do I believe about the blood? Well, I believe the blood has delivered me from wrath. You know, the Antichrist is going to come and bring his tribulation, but when God pours out his wrath on the world, that wrath is never, ever, ever going to touch me. It's never, ever going to touch you because we have been delivered from wrath. So we got to start with faith in what the blood of Jesus does for us. Secondly, when the children of Israel came out, we learned about this last week, they go to Mount Sinai and basically they become a holy nation there. That's where they become God's people. And now they begin their journey on the way to the promised land. Now, as they're making this journey, they are going through an area that honestly it would have just taken them a few days to walk from Mount Sinai to Canaan. But, you know, there were opposition obstacles in the way. There were opposition armies there. And then plus there was the mixed multitude, the people that weren't fully committed to following God, that were always creating problems and discord. And so they spent 40 years making what should have been about a 2-week walk. But the thing that happened in those 40 years is God protected them. God led them. And the Bible says He led them with a cloud by day and with a fire by night. You know, those of you that are old, you know, been around since the Jesus people days, you remember a group called Dogwood, and they used to have a song, and one of the lines in the song, when I want to move when He's moving, I want to stay when He stays. Man, I'll tell you what, I loved that song, and it really, really spoke to me, you know, as a young believer, because when the cloud stopped, they stopped. When the cloud moved, they packed up and moved with the cloud. And that's how we want to live our lives. We want to live our lives not just intellectually assessing everything that's going on around us. And we definitely don't want to live our lives by the principles of the world, where we're just trying to get what we can get and manipulate and play games with people and build ministries and all this kind of stuff. It's got to be all about following God wherever He's leading us, however He's leading us, serving people, walking in love in the process. So I am convinced that the key to being an overcomer in the days that lie ahead is being able to hear and follow the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, when Jesus taught about the tribulation, He basically taught two things that we needed to do in order to be able to overcome in the time of tribulation. He taught us that first and foremost, we had to have oil in our lamp. We had to watch and pray. We had to be awake and alive to God. In other words, we have to hear and follow the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand something. When times are easy, anybody can succeed and anybody can prosper if they just understand some of the simple biblical principles of success and go out and make good decisions based on those principles of success. And really, anybody can succeed. But the harder things get financially, the better and more accurate that our decisions have to be. You know, there were several years ago, back before the collapse, back about 2005, 2006, the Lord began to speak to me about what was going to be coming to America in the days that were not too far ahead and in the days that are still ahead of us. And the Lord impressed me to write a book called Wired for Success, Program for Failure. And this book was designed to help people discover how to follow God into success, even in incredibly difficult, incredibly hard times. Because you see, only God knows you and what your strengths and weaknesses are. Only God knows the strengths and weaknesses of everybody around you. Only God knows what's coming in the economy. So only God Himself can lead us into the kinds of decisions that we will need to make without falling into the traps that are coming to the rest of the world. And in 2008, we began to make decisions and changes in our ministry that prepared us for what was coming. And basically, we survived, and not only survived, but we prospered and expanded our ministry and reached more people because we were listening to what the Holy Spirit had to say. So a lot of people say, well, Jim, are you saying that people, their ministries collapsed, they went broke, they lost everything? Are you saying they didn't listen? That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're bad people, but I'm saying they probably had some idea of what God had been leading them to do up to that point. As God began to lead them in another direction, maybe they couldn't see it. Maybe they couldn't grasp where God was taking them. That's the way life is. Listen, our life will be doing great. Things will be going good in our personal life. And, you know, suddenly we just start making decisions without really having our heart open and sensitive and awake until God, and things start falling apart. And we're thinking, God, You left me. No, God didn't leave us. We left Him. We stopped walking in the path that He's trying to lead us on. You know, Jesus as Lord and as our shepherd is going to guide us into the paths of righteousness. Well, that path of righteousness is how it should be. How it should be morally, how it should be ethically, how it should be financially, how it should be relationally. He will lead us in the perfect path. He will make the crooked way straight. He'll make the rough path plain and easy to walk. He'll give us light to our feet. He'll brighten the path so that we can take the steps that we need to take. But I'm going to tell you something. This all starts by the intention and the desire to follow the Holy Spirit. This all starts by opening our hearts up to follow God, you know, the way maybe we never have our whole lives. You know, when I first got saved, I was a street preacher for about 3 years. And again, that doesn't mean I was out screaming on street corners. It meant that I was prowling the streets and going into bars and going into parks and going into wherever I could find people that didn't know Jesus and finding really innovative ways to share the gospel with them. So, you know, in Huntsville back in those days, Huntsville never seen anything like that. They had never even heard of anything like that. And when provocative movies would come out, I would go down and I'd either watch the advertisings about the movie or I'd go see the movie and I'd go home and I'd write a track. I bought a little IBM typewriter and a mimeograph machine. I'd write a little track based on that movie, crank that thing out and cut it up and head down there. And as people were coming out of the movie, I had a couple of people that would give out these tracks. They were real short. And so I'd wait about a half a block from the theater, and by the time the people got to me, they'd already read their track, and I'd start sharing Jesus with them. And man, we saw people get saved. We saw all kinds of incredible things happen there on the street. But I tell you what, more than once, people tried to lure me into traps, to beat me up. I don't know if they would have killed me. I actually did have some groups threaten to kill me, but people tried to lure me into traps and to hurt me, to do me physical harm, and it was always the leading of the Holy Spirit that caused me to be able to divert these traps, to get out of these situations, to not go when there was a trap. You know, later on, I would find out what had been set up for me. And then many times I'd go in these situations and, you know, God would speak to me and show me it was going to be a trap, but He would tell me to go anyhow. And I'd go into these situations and these people that set a trap for me, and I'd end up leading them to Jesus. And you know, this was an exciting time for me because I was a new believer. I was leading people to Jesus. But more than that, I was experiencing the leadership of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Now, I'll tell you something. Back in those days, you know, I wasn't always sure how to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't always, you know, positive it was God or wasn't God. And so, you know, I just did something that I've talked to you about so many times. Anytime I felt impressed to do something, as long as it was within biblical bounds, I would do it. If I'm driving down the street and I have the impression, don't go down this street, I'd go down another street. If I was out somewhere and I had the impression, come home right now, whatever, I would just do it. And, you know, it's amazing the phenomenal things that would happen. You know, one day, just actually a few years ago, it was on a Saturday, I was out running errands, just going out and getting some stuff for working on the house. And I had several more stops that I had to make. I'm just riding down the road, and I just get that sense, go home now. That wasn't strong. It wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't a voice screaming in my head. It was that still, small voice. And I almost didn't go. I thought, man, I've got other stops I need to make. Then I said, nope, I'm going to follow this. So I head to the house, pull up under the carport. Just as I pull up under the carport, Brenda comes running out the kitchen door and says, the house is on fire. And so I run back in, I get her out of the house, I run into the house, run upstairs, and our dryer hose had caught on fire. And, you know, I was able to put the fire out with minimal damage to our house. But if I had not come back when I did, the truth is, some portion, if not all of our house, would have burned down. And I can just tell you story after story after story after story of just these little impressions where God would just intuitively lead me. And over the years, you know, as you say yes, when you sense these things and you start seeing, okay, how to recognize it. And you only get this by experience. Nobody can teach you this. Only by experience can you come to learn when you absolutely know for sure this is a God thing or this is an emotional thing. But I tell you what, it will change the way you do business. It'll change what happens with your kids, how you raise your kids, the decisions that you're going to make with your kids. It'll change how you solve problems. It'll change how you resolve conflict. It will change just about everything that is going to happen in your life, because suddenly now you are not just intellectually driving your life based on all of these natural factors. You know, the word led, when it talks about being led by the Spirit, you know, there's the obvious meaning of what it means to be directed somewhere. But one of the interesting things of the word led, it also is the word to sail away, as in a boat. Now, this is interesting because if you look up the word led by the Spirit, and then you see all the places that Greek word is used, it's used as often as not talking about sailing away in a boat. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's really what happens when we yield to the Holy Spirit. When we get this impression and we begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, it's like the wind catching our sails and suddenly we're being moved down this river by another power. It's no longer our power. Now, we're never out of control. We never lose the ability to make our choices. God never forces us to do anything. All we're doing is just staying in that place where the wind has filled our sails and we're moving with the current and we're headed toward the destination that God wants us to go. And I'm going to tell you something. This is so crucial to every part of life. You know, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, it says something so incredibly interesting. And you know, Romans is one of those books that people have a lot of confusion about the book of Romans, because Paul's teachings, really, if you don't understand the Word of God, if you don't understand, I'm talking about the Old Testament, if you don't understand the Old Testament and everything that God said in the Old Testament about what He was going to do in the New Covenant, then when you start reading Paul's writings, you don't really understand or get a much of it, because so much of it, you have to understand the Word of God to get what He's talking about. And so, actually, the Apostle Peter said a lot of people, really unstable people, they twist Paul's teachings to their own destruction. But the book of Romans is an interesting book, because the book of Romans really brings in this dynamic of righteousness, grace, and walking in the Spirit or being spiritually minded. And it kind of juxtaposes all of that from being in the flesh, from, you know, yielding to sin and, you know, to basic carnality. And really with the book of Romans, it's like any letter that you would get from somebody. If you don't read it from start to finish, you start going through the book of Romans and picking out individual scriptures. And before long, you're totally off of what God was really, really saying. And so in the book of Romans in chapter 6, man, he's talking about how that grace works in us because of righteousness, because we have accepted and believed in the righteousness of Jesus, because we believe that we're righteousness, then grace works in us, and therefore, Romans 6:14, sin no longer has any dominion over us. And then he kind of gets into this thing about being children and heirs and this sort of thing. But he says something that could so be misunderstood. Romans 8:14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God." Now, he is not saying here that if you're not led by the Spirit, he's not saying here that you were never born again. It seems that Paul is making a reference here where the Jews would make a distinction between sons who were able to live as heirs as opposed to children who had not yet come into the place of being heirs. Now, we know that legally we are all heirs because we're in Jesus. We know that if we are a son, we are an heir. But when it comes to living in this realm called the kingdom of God, Jesus taught parables that gave us the values, the morals, the ethics, the principles that we had to embrace if we were going to function in this realm. Now, people have twisted those, and they've said that they were laws and that they were legalistic and all this kind of stuff. And people who teach you that, they don't know what they're talking about. Jesus was not a teacher of the law. He was a teacher of the kingdom of God. But it was all based on the commandments of God, just like everything in the new covenant is all based on the commandments of God. Just like walking in love is based on the commandments of God. But in the parables, Jesus taught us that really, this mindset that we had to have of being servants, of putting other people first, you know, all of those kinds of things, of serving other people, bringing benefit to other people's lives. And that if we didn't, we couldn't inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. That does not mean that we can't get saved, but it means that we can't function in this realm where everything that God is trying to do in our life can actually happen. And so it seems that this is what Paul is talking about here. Verse 15, he says, "You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs." So he's saying, you know, even though we may be functioning as children, we are still heirs. There is no distinction in being an heir about whether you're a son or whether you're a child. But it seems to be that there is a distinction between our capacity to walk in these things that God has given us, that God's done in our life. You know, it's in the book of Romans, you know, where he talks about the kingdom of God, and Romans and Corinthians, by the way, he talks about the kingdom of God not being in word, but being in power. How that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Spirit. And so, as you read this, And as he talks about being led by the Spirit, instead of going to something really, really mystical and really, really far out, he brings it down to being spiritually minded. In Romans 8, verse 3, he says, "For what the law couldn't do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So if we are yielding to the Spirit, he is saying that the requirements of the law will be fulfilled. They will come to completion in us. You know, being filled with grace doesn't mean we have thrown the law away, but we're not under the law. But the law is still the truth, the standards, the values, the morals that God is trying to bring us to or bring into fulfillment into our life. And of course, if we walk in love, we're always going to do that because love never violates the Word of God. But anyhow, he goes on verse 5 that says this, "For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or naturally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And he says that the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, and it is impossible to please God. Now, this is an amazing thing here because beginning to walk in the Spirit doesn't start by, I'm going to go out here and the Holy Spirit's going to move on me. It starts by having a mind set on the Spirit and the things of the Spirit and the truth of the Spirit and the values and the morals and all of these things that come to us through the Word of God, as opposed to the things of the flesh, which are all based on self-gratification, the world, self-centeredness, all this kinds of thing. So in reality, being led by the Spirit is something that can't even happen in our life until we make a determination about where am I setting my mind? Where am I looking to understand truth? Where am I looking to understand God's values and God's morals? Where am I looking to define love? Where am I looking to decide this is how I need to treat people? This is how I want to live my life. Where am I looking to get that? You know, some people say, "Well, I'm looking to the Spirit, but I'm not looking to anything else." Let me tell you, if you don't renew your mind by the Word of God, you don't know where you're looking to. Just say you're going to follow the Spirit, that could lead you anywhere, unless following the Spirit means the fulfillment of everything that God has ever said, just like Paul said there. God wants to lead us. He wants to direct our life. He wants it to always work. But if we don't have our minds set on the things of the Spirit, we will never recognize the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'll be right back with a mentoring moment. You don't want to miss it. I've got a free download for you this month called My Journey with the Holy Spirit. And it tells a story kind of from beginning to end, how I learned how to walk with the Holy Spirit. Go to www.impactministries.com and just look at the slider that's going to come up that says free message, and it's yours today. If you're enjoying this program, I want you to know that this is a gift to you from our World Changer family. Our World Changers make it possible for us to have broadcasts that come out for free every single week. We send books all over the world. Books get translated into many different languages to reach the nations of the world. And we're actively involved in a program called Operation 1 Billion, where we are committed to reaching 1 billion people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you are interested in helping us change the way the world sees God, I invite you to go to our website or call in 256-536-9402. Talk to someone about becoming a part of our World Changer family. We'll look for ways to bless you, and together we will bless the world. You're going to love what we've got for you this month, a special offer. I'm going to be sharing with you the power within. I want you to connect to the power of the Holy Spirit that works inside you. But also, one of the things I want to give you just as a free gift is the manifestations of grace. I want you to realize that the gifts and the grace of the Holy Spirit are pretty much one and the same thing. One works in you, the other flows out of you. Plus, I want to share with you my personal journey with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want to be led by the Spirit, you know, one of the things, and I always say this about everything, it's got to start with lordship. Everything about moving into all that God has for us in salvation starts with Jesus as your Lord, which means if Jesus is my Lord, He's bought my life. He owns me. I was bought with a price. I'm not my own. I give up that way of life. I'm going to wholeheartedly follow Him. And yes, we're going to struggle. Yes, we're going to stumble. Yes, we're going to have things where it goes wrong. But at the end of the day, is that intention and commitment in your heart that you're going to follow Jesus as Lord, no matter what. And every time you realize that some desire, some passion, some belief, or some activity that you're giving yourself to is in conflict with how Jesus would live, it's in conflict with what the Word of God says, not because you're trying to earn something, but because you trust God, you know it'll bring destruction to your life, you're just going to say, you know what, I don't need this, I'm going to let go of this, I'm moving past this, and I'm going to find what Jesus has for me that's better. You know, it's really, really important in this debate that's going on across the country and around the world today about grace versus law. There are so many unscriptural concepts being presented about grace. I believe in grace. I taught grace. I was teaching grace nationally and internationally before most of these people ever even knew how to spell the word grace. And I am all about the grace of God. But grace is not everything that there is. Grace is God's power, God's ability, God's strength, but comes by unmerited favor. It works in your heart, a divine influence in your heart. And grace is all about having the power to live in righteousness, which means the power to actually do everything that all the commandments say that we should do if we're really walking in love. If I'm really walking in love, then I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to treat you right. I'm not going to lie about you. I'm not going to slander you. All of these kinds of ways, grace gives me the power to be who God says I am and to walk in the righteousness that Jesus walked in. But it's really, really interesting here. You know, sometimes we just juxtapose grace versus law, and we think, well, the options are grace or being under the law. No, you're not under the law. In other words, it is not the law that's driving your life, it's grace. But here's the deal. Galatians 5:18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we are not following the Holy Spirit, we will still end up in some kind of corrupt legal situation.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.